title of this message is A Whole Lot of Shaking is Coming. And this is subtitled under Prophetic Ministry. It is to make the people of God aware of what is about to come upon the land. Amen? Can you hear me? Okay, cool. Haggai 2, starting in verse 4, we'll read to verse 9, says, "Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work. For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you, do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, that is in a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts." Haggai was a minor prophet, but he has a major emphasis here about what is to happen shortly in the world today. Prophetically, there are four things that God wants us to know, and I will describe them, and then I will describe to you what is happening in the land. God has given us advance warning that in this year, we're taking what Pastor Mike had shared with us last year about this acceleration. This acceleration is not only going to accelerate our spiritual growth, it's also going to accelerate the emphasis within us to bring in the Lord's harvest. What was not part of our heart before is now going to be part of our heart. And this shaking that God's going to do is going to start in His house first. Shaking, when we shake, you know, I was shaken this morning by my wife saying, "What time you want to get up?" I said, "This is a good time. This is a good time to get shaken." You know, God wants to shake His people out of their slumber and their slothfulness. He wants to shake us to show us that it is important. He has important work, for us to do. Shaking also has a connotation of we're trying to shake things to a level, a compaction, so that God can pour more in. Okay? So what we've received, that shaking is going to take care of the pride in our lives because it puffs us up. And so He's going to shake us so He can compact and give more of His Spirit into us to generate the fruit of His character so that people will not be drawn to you. God knows they're not drawn to me. They're drawn to Jesus Christ. Amen? And so what we have to understand here, that shaking is good. This shaking is not only going to be in His house, it's going to be in every nation. It's going to happen, and we need to understand and not be caught unaware. We need to seize those opportunities that when this shaking does happen, we can give them Jesus Christ and bring them into the family of God. Amen? What are these four things that God wants us to know? Well, in verse 4, He says three times, be strong. He encourages us to be strong because this shaking is going to shake the very foundations of your belief system. And some of us have gone through some things that have really shaken us to the core. But that shaking has made us stronger. It hasn't made us weaker. It made us stronger in God. Because God hasn't left us or forsaked us. Three times he told Moses to be strong as Moses addressed the people of God. Three times he told Joshua to be strong. Why? So that he would lead the people of God to enter into the promises. Three times he told David to be strong as David addressed Solomon in his earthly reign. 3 is a real important number in prophetic terms. And I've given you 3 examples where I only have to give you 2. But 3 is such an important number that the triunity of what God wants to do is to bring us into a complete understanding of who He is and our job in compared to what He wants to do through us to reach the lost or those who are still far away from God. 2, He encourages us by the covenant that He has established. Part of the covenant that He has established is He has given us great and precious promises, of which one is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Tozer said, if God were to take His Holy Spirit out of this world, much of what we're doing in our churches would go right on, and no one would even know that He had left. I was talking with Pastor Barry, and he was making some suggestions to me about certain things. And I said to him, brother, I appreciate your input and all, but if it isn't by the Holy Spirit, we're not doing it. Because what He's doing in your church may not necessarily be what He wants to do in my church. I need to do what He tells me to do, not go by the opinions of men or suggestions of men. And he understood that. He was very appreciative of that. And we have built this ministry not on a suggestion of God, but on what God wants to do. And many of the leaders have come up with suggestions and all, but if it's not scriptural and it's not what God's speaking, guess what? It gets put on the back burner until such time as it happens. God has promised us His Spirit, and how many of us have been baptized in His Spirit, and every hand should be up. If we're not, then we have a problem because, you know, the promise is given to those who receive Jesus Christ. You're not completely endued with power unless you have the Holy Spirit in you and upon you. So I encourage you to really seek out God and you know, ask the leaders. We could pray for you at the end of service and you get baptized, start speaking in tongues and go crazy. The thing is we are not going to ignore the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is replete that those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God and daughters of God. So we're going to be led by Him. We're going to encourage Him to take His rightful place in the church, and that requires our obedience to what He tells us to do. It's just that simple. 3, He encourages us by His precious promises. We must know what those provisions are that are in the covenant. Many of us hear the word covenant. Many of us have an idea what covenant is. But if you don't know what God provides for you, you don't have anything. You just have a head knowledge of what God has provided for you. Many of you are Americans and live as such as an Americans, but you don't know what the Constitution provides for you, and you don't know what your rights as a citizen is. It would behoove you to first become a citizen of the kingdom and live as citizens of the kingdom, knowing your rights and privileges as a citizen, because that is secondary to being a citizen of these United States. And I will elaborate a little bit later. 4, He encouraged us by His provision. In verse 8, He says that the gold is His and the silver is His. What I get out of this is that there is going to be such economic distress that is going to come upon this planet that we are going to live by faith in God's provision for us. We saw that with the prophets in that, who was it? Isaiah was with the prophets of Baal, and it took off, and then he was fed by the ravens and the angels and stuff. God is going to supernaturally provide for us, but we have to believe that He's going to do this, and we have to stop trusting in the arm of man. We have to start petitioning God today, not tomorrow or in the future. We need to petition Him right now so we know how He wants things done and where to go to get those things accomplished. Amen? And so what we have started in streams, and we've been doing this for well over a month now, is we have been having intercession going on in the church from 8:30 in the morning. Some of you are aware of it, some of you aren't. And I invite you, as the Lord leads, to become a part of that. Because once unity is attained, God is able to start speaking to us, and we will understand more readily as to, well, why did Pastor say this, or why did Ed say that, or you know, I don't understand why we have to do this. When we're all on the same page, we all see the same thing, and we all understand together. We don't have to explain anything. We understand. And so God wants us to understand, excuse me, that these things are coming upon the land, but it is His will. He is in control. We sang an old song today. He's in control. Is He? Is He in control of your life? Because judgment starts in the house of God first. And if He is not, it's a good time to start. A new year, you know, repent, get it under the blood, and say, God, I'm going to trust You. No matter what comes in my life, I'm going to trust You. Amen? We have to understand that there is nothing more important than Father's business. What is Father's business? Who could tell me what Father's business is? Anybody. It's Father's business. We just come here, be like bumps on a log, and just pretend we know God and we know what He wants. Bring the harvest in. Heal. The healing is a sign that He's with us. You know, that's part of the Isaiah 61 anointing that each and every one of us has. We need to start using it. And before we can use it, we have to believe we have it. If Jesus said and read to the Pharisees and said, you know, I've been anointed. Say it with me. I've been anointed. To do what? To preach the good news. Heal the brokenhearted. Set the captives free. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. To make straight the pathways. To restore the ancient landmarks. That anointing is upon me and upon you. So thereby, God is saying that the job is still the same. It's just whether the vessel is going to respond to it. Okay? The Holy Spirit says, you can't come out of what you don't see. In other words, God is calling us out of this world. Do you believe that? Then why do you still live like you're part of the world? I'm just asking a question. We do things in such a way that we think that we are kingdom people. And I did 26 weeks of teaching you what kingdom is. It's a culture. It's a language. It is a faith. It is a culture. It is an economic system. It is a labor system. And so much more. Satan wants us to be so focused on our problems and our situations that we don't focus on the will of God. And the will of God is that all men come to repentance and be saved. That's God's will. Our job is to figure out how we're going to take that message, the good news of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of heaven, not the good news of Jesus and He died on a cross. I hate to disappoint you, but He's going to come back as King. He's not going to come back as a little baby in a manger. So you need to jettison that thinking. The King is coming, and the people need to get ready. Moses went and told the people, the King is coming, get ready. He's going to deliver us. And that's what He's going to do. He's going to deliver us. Turn to Romans 8. I'm going to give you the reason why we need to get right with God. Right? The reason why we have to come out of the world. Romans 8, verse 18 and 19 says, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation awaits the revealing of the sons and daughters of God." What is happening at this moment is God is beginning to shake your very foundations, even as you're sitting here and you're beginning to wonder, what is it that I am doing that is opposing the will of God? And that's good. And when the Holy Spirit tells you what it is, you need to repent and get it under the blood. Why? Because he is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed to this world. And there is a purpose for sons and daughters to be revealed. Not boys and girls waiting to be revealed. And that's what is most of the church today. Boys and girls. Not men, not women. Satan has done a tremendous job in doing this. Our job is to restore all things as what was from the first, according to Acts 3:21. Restore all things. But how's that going to happen if the sons and daughters aren't revealed? What does that mean when the sons and daughters are to be revealed? What is the revelation that God is trying to bring to the world? And that is mature men and women. Are you a son of this house? Don't answer that. Because what you consider a son and what God considers a son are two different things. You may be born again, but you still may not be a son of the house. You may be baptized in the Spirit, but you may not be a son of the house. Why? Sons take responsibility and do the things that the Father tells them to do in order to allow the Father to do more of what He's supposed to do, not worrying about, well, did Sean go out and beat the sheep today? Did he go and shear the sheep? Did Ken go out today and bring the sheep, change them from field to field? Did Steve go out today and do his chores, or was he slothful in what he was supposed to do? Sons and daughters are mature because they take on the responsibility of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ is He is our King. He promises to take care of us and make provision for us so that we can go out and do what He tells us to do in winning the lost. Paul said, I became all things to all men that I may win some. It wasn't that he was a chameleon. It was that he was strategizing his part in winning some people to Jesus Christ. What are you thinking about in order to win people to Jesus Christ? See, the onus is not on the leaders or on the pastors. It's on everybody. And our job as pastors is to exhort the church, the sheep of Jesus Christ, to go and reproduce more sheep. Not just the leaders. So if you're not doing that, then the question goes back, am I a son or a daughter of the house of God? And I want you to answer that for yourself. The Spirit is saying that the Antichrist and Leviathan spirits that are controlling every government on this planet is sapping the life out of God's people. What is Antichrist? Antichrist spirit is anything that exalts itself above Jesus Christ as Lord. And we live in a country that is no longer Christian, and it exalts itself above Jesus Christ because God has been successfully dethroned in one generation. Just because we say in our money, in God we trust, that is a lie. It's whoever is in charge. And most of us feed at the coffers of what government, this Antichrist government, is all about. Leviathan, or a python spirit, slowly wraps itself around the individual or the families or the house of God and chokes that life out of it. It concerns me when people say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm just so tired. I just don't have any more strength. You know, every time you take a breath and exhale it, the python squeezes you more. And we are being squeezed slowly into submission. I submit this to you, that my knee is not going to bow to this Antichrist government. It is going to bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Because that's what the Bible says. That the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. And He is Lord. It's just whether He's your Lord or not. And because of what has been going on, this insidious plan by Satan, which is starting to amalgamate and bring all the governments together, we understand that in Revelation it talks about a one world government, a one world economic system, a one world religion. After all roads lead to Jesus. Everybody's going to heaven. And you heard me preach, yeah, everybody's going to heaven. Not everybody's staying there. Check your scriptures out. We're all going to stand there before the judgment seat. The question is, what side are you on? The sheep or the goats? We need to begin to start thinking of ways how to become unyoked to this unrighteous mammon. We put our needs before God's needs. We tell God we need a new job, we need this, we need that, we need... God needs us to do what He wants done first. Remember I said in Matthew 6:33, if you're seeking the kingdom first, He's already got our needs met. He already knows what we need and He already supplies those needs. We need to be faithful in what He has already laid into our hands so that He can give us more. Obedience is what He's looking for. He's not looking for rebellion and people thinking that they got options and stuff. Those options are off. This year, it's going to shake so many people's lives, it's going to be ridiculous. When He shakes a tree, have you ever worked in an orchard? I worked in an orchard. And they had these trees, these machines that come in with these arms, they grab a hold of the base of the trunk, and it shakes it so vigorously. And around the tree are these nets that catches all this fruit. The Bible says that once more He's going to shake. And everything that falls out is not God's. Everything that remains is. Am I not right, brother? When He starts shaking your tree, are you going to remain? Or are you going to fall? I'm saying this to challenge you because we have this year a great opportunity that is set before us to know what God is doing and what He's going to do. And we need to seize those opportunities. We need to first see them, recognize them, and seize them in the lifetime of those opportunities because they may not come again. We need to stop making money, our God, and we call that idolatry, and put God back on the throne. We did 5 weeks of basics in kingdom economics that I did, and I don't know how that has affected you. None of you have come and spoken to me about things. So I'm hoping that the challenge is there, but it's not for me, it's for God's people to begin to grab a hold of that we are in a war. And it's a shooting war. And this shooting war has invisible bullets that all of us are susceptible to. And the finances are His. And He wants us to finance, one, the house of God so that there will be food in the storehouse for people. Two, to take responsibility to prepare and take care of the true orphans and widows and the sojourner who comes and journeys with us. The rest of us have to get our lives put in place properly. We make these plans, but we don't include God in it. And then we say, God bless this. Have you ever sat at His feet and said, God, I would like to do this, but if it's not Your will, let me know. What we do is we say, we're going to do this. God said this. And it turns out, and it's okay. If it doesn't turn out, well, I must have misheard God. I misunderstood. No. No. God's not schizophrenic. What he says, he means. And he's very direct in how he speaks to us. And he doesn't lie. What we do, we lie. What does this all have to do with us today in this shaking? I am very earnest about God's people maturing. I'm very earnest about this house. I'm not worried about any of the other houses of God. I'm only responsible for this house. Of maturing the saints, giving them what they need, the tools that they need to grow up in order to go out and accomplish what God has called into their lives. Your job is to be a fishing pond. Did you know that? Your education is to be utilized in such a way to elevate you to higher levels of those on different economic and educational levels. They are not your peers. They are not your adversaries. They are opportunities that need to be won to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are not doing that, if we say, well, you know, everybody in my office is saved. Are they saved, or do they just say that they have faith in Jesus Christ? You need to test it. You need to find out if they are. And God provides the means in which we can test it. The Isaiah 61 anointing that each and every one of us has to be our reality. That reality is no different than the mandate of the Genesis 1:28 mandate, which is what? Go subdue the earth. Take dominion. Dominion is the right to rule. And most of you don't even believe that you have the right to rule. You were created to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. That's where Paul says, don't you know that you're going to judge the nations? Judge angels? That is the right to rule. But you can't even rule your life. How are you going to rule in the house of God? How are you going to rule with Christ? I'm just posing things. I'm not accusing anyone. I'm opposed to the mindset that has crippled God's people. We have to understand that this Babylonian system, which started when Cain turned away from God and turned on his brother, has been going on since that day. And it is almost completely erected. This Babylonian society is meant to enslave the people of God. And if he can't enslave the people of God, it will take us out. And Rashima and I were talking a little bit about what God had shown me back in the 90s, what he is showing her. And I bear witness to that future for us that I would say are resistant fighters. Where are you going to be when this system collapses? And it will collapse. It has been made to collapse. It is made by man and the devil. Because if he can't rule over us, he will destroy us. I will not give my worship to him. There's only one true God, and that's whose worship I will give to him. And if it's time for me to go on and be with the Lord, then so be it. Don't be sad. Be glad. I graduated. You look at Hebrews 11, and it talks about faith, and it talks about all those men and women who died in the faith. Some were sawed in two. Some were ripped apart. Some were crucified upside down. Some were filleted. That means having their skin taken off, and they didn't die. They died from the filleting. Some died crucified, and at night the Roman guard would go and spill oil on them and light them up so they could be lights to the roadway. I've encouraged you to read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Those who want God don't care what happens to them. And we're so protective of this flesh. We don't want to be inconvenienced. We don't want to be uncomfortable. But that's not the way of the cross. That's not the way to become a son or a daughter in the house. Become a son and a daughter is obedience, sacrifice, and service. In every area, especially time, because the time is getting shorter and shorter. To be a son, God expects us to model kingdom. Our allegiance is no longer to this world. You have to understand this. Our allegiance is no longer to the United States of America. It is to Jesus Christ the King and the kingdom of heaven. That is our allegiance first and only. And God expects us to live as kingdom people. This may be taxing your theology a little bit, but that's how I see it. I mean, this is how the Holy Spirit has revealed it to me. I didn't make the rules. I just have to abide by them. I'm no different than you. But I am passionate about my King. I am passionate about building his kingdom. I am passionate about winning those who are still in darkness. Oh, Pastor, you're just angry. Yeah, I'm angry with the attitude that is pervasive through the church. It's a cancer. And this cancer takes the power of God out of the church. And there are pockets, there are oases out there that are flowing in the Holy Ghost, moving in the Holy Ghost. Signs and wonders are being done. But not in America. They're even less in America. When was the last time you prayed for somebody and a miracle happened? When was the last time you led somebody to Christ? When was the last time you even shared your faith with someone? See, we're all going to give an account. We're all going to tell the Lord why and why not. And my heart is that because what God has called Streams to become is an apostolic church, a first church, where fivefold is being raised up and ministered to within the midst of us, to be sent out to replicate and get the people of God to understand their responsibility. We are to equip and train for the works of the ministry. Read your Bible. Oh, Pastor's asking me to do this. Do you believe it? I got a roast on in the oven. You know, can't he pick somebody else? No, I can't. I got to do what he tells me. Today I asked Dylan to do something today. I didn't do it out of my own. I just did it because the Holy Spirit said, ask this young man to do something. and you did it. And you're going to do it. Well, praise God. I don't know how you think about ministry. But since being sick and now recovered, I think about ministry a lot. I think about how I serve you guys. I think about improving in my service to you. And I ask the Holy Spirit how I can do that. And He shows me line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And it's a graduation. The question is, we're so arrogant, we think we're doing so much, and we don't do anything. I like what Holly said, you know, God, we love you. We just love you for who you are. Do you love God? Yeah, Pastor, I love God. Then show God you love Him. Show Him. Because this year is going to be different than any other year. This year is not so much the leaders, and although the leaders, we've been in this shaking for a while. Now the church is going to wake up. And when the church wakes up, watch out. When the church wakes up and seeks God, He's going to be found. When the church wakes up and does what He says that needs to be done, the harvest will start coming in. We need to be strong, people. We need to trust God. He's going to supply our needs. We need to know what those promises are so that when we go to Him, we say, Daddy, You promised this. Whatever it is. You promised. And You're not a man that can lie, God. You promised this. And by Your word, You said this. I expect it to be done. That's what He's waiting. He's not waiting for your childish little prayers any longer. He's waiting for you to demand what He has promised. Yeah, demand. That's where you go into the throne room boldly. And most of us go in with such false humility that we don't know what to ask because we're not spending time with Him. Turn to Exodus 20. We're almost done. Exodus 20, verse 2. This is the Lord speaking. He says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before Me. Now, I've listened to all this stuff that's going on. I've listened to the fantasy football stuff that is a preoccupation in the house of God. Do you not know that that's an idol? When we're in the house of God, it should only be God. It should only be speaking about God. It should only be thinking about God. We should be coming up to each other. Guess what God did this week? That's a testimony. God healed me. That's a praise. God led me to speak to this person and they got saved. Pastor, I need a Bible. Because they're sitting over here. All right, we'll get them. That is childish, and it is idolatry. It is wickedness, and it has to stop in this house. What you do in your house, but in this house, God reigns, God rules, and He dictates what our conversation is supposed to be. He dictates how our spirits are supposed to be empowered. Because when one is talking about about a miracle that has happened, that encourages us. That builds us up. One comes with a song. God gave me a new song. It's talking about the artists that come in and our psalmists that build praise for us and build us up. People are looking in churches and are looking for those opportunities because God has placed gifts in them. And we're so stuck on stupid that we don't recognize what God is doing. He's bringing them to us. He's giving us the easy fruit. Really, it's really easy. When He brings them, we don't have much to do about it. He's done it. So keep praying that the easy pickings will come. What has happened is this, a generation has seen, and I've seen this, that God is no longer in this government, nor can He be in this government. It's an antichrist system. It looks good on the outside, but inside it's full of poison and death. Pastor, how can you say that? Even Satan dresses up as an angel of light. He looks good, but is there anything good in him? No. He's a liar and the father of all lies. I've had some people accuse me that I don't like Obama. I said, I don't know him. I know the spirit that is influencing him. I do know that. And that is not the spirit of God. Because you don't put a burden on people that are already burdened and say, this is a good thing. Because the end result is everyone becoming slaves to the system. Everyone. And the only ones that benefit are the ones in the top. Ones calling the shots. We have to understand God is trying to get us out of idolatry. He is calling us to come out from among them. He has a reason for it. You know what? We're filled with dirt and junk and mud all over us. He wants to cleanse us. He wants His Holy Spirit to come out there with a fire hose and drench us in purity and righteousness and holiness. And what do? We resist. We resist the Holy Spirit. And in one generation, God is not on the throne over this government. In one generation, God is not enthroned over His church. Hear me. He is not enthroned over His church because we don't know Him. We have forgotten Him. There's no power in the Church of America because His Holy Spirit isn't there. And it concerns me. Revelation 11:15 says, and then the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. That Greek word for become is genomai. It means made to become. These kingdoms were made to become Christ's kingdom. He is the Lord over all of them. And it is the responsibility of the sons and daughters to bring those kingdoms to His feet. That is our responsibility. Will we be successful? I know what the Bible says. And I believe that as we go out and we have opportunity, Tuesday is the setting in for Dan Tiefe to becoming mayor and his ministry team. I encourage you. Irene and I are going to be there. We're going to pray while they're setting them in. That we have a government that will be influenced by the Spirit of God. That should be all our prayers. Why? So that we may live a peaceable life. But understand that when we preach kingdom, there is going to be a natural or a supernatural conflict that is going to come. You need to arm your minds and spirits with such conflict. God is calling us to come out. 2 Corinthians, turn there, 2 Corinthians 6. Probably the last scripture. It is. 2 Corinthians 6, 13 through 18. Paul's writing. He says, "Now I return for the same. I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And God says, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Most High." Some translations, Lord Almighty. Come out. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Your attitude all starts with understanding that God owns everything and is in control of everything. Nothing escapes Him. And it has only been by His grace and mercy that He has not smote us in our disobedience. And some of us are presently being disciplined because He loves us and He calls us His sons and daughters. He is not after to punish you. He is after your obedience to do what He wants, because He has our best at heart. We need to understand it's one thing to preach and teach and be salt and light to this world. It's quite another to embrace and build and advance the Antichrist Leviathan system. Did you hear me? I believe that the wealth of the nations is laid up for the righteous. I believe that. I believe that people who are in need can go to government if God says to go to government for help and assistance. But there is a great family that God has left on this planet to help each other, to come out from that. And I believe that Satan has caused us to become slothful and dull of hearing and blind because we walk in darkness and we don't walk in light. I'm not saying in all areas, but I'm saying there are areas in our lives that God has been putting His finger on, trying to get our attention, and we have been resistive to what the Holy Spirit has been wanting to do in order to deliver us from that. There are some in the church that are proclaiming a reformation of this government, that we need term limits, we need all this other nonsense. What you need to understand is this government cannot be fixed. It can't be fixed through prayer. It can't be fixed by our efforts. It can only be replaced with the kingdom of heaven, where Jesus is enthroned, where Jesus is Lord. That's how the kingdoms are going to come. Those who rule will be submitted to God's Spirit. We have to understand that God gave us an example to Moses, that Moses preached deliverance to the people of God, and God took care of Pharaoh and his Antichrist system. We have to realize that Israel became slaves over time, not all at once. And becoming a slave incrementally is worse because we're lulled into a sleep and believing everything's okay. And once the Antichrist system continues to lie, it perpetrates the lie, keeps repeating the lie, to eventually people believe that that's the truth. A lie is a lie. Truth is the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, you're in line for deception. And you guys are all smarter than I am. Cuter, too. Have more hair. It's true. They have more hair. God doesn't want us to worry about the extraneous things of this government. In this country, yeah, we're to vote. We're to vote for people who God has stirred their spirits to do things, because that's their gift, that's their talent, and we need to place those men and women in those positions in order to influence the governments. I don't vote. No, I'm only one person. I don't vote. Okay. You're not a citizen. I voted one time. I voted Jesus in my life. And he took over. He rules and reigns. Now I do what he tells me to do. God is about to deliver us from the slavery of this world. God is about ready to deliver us from the slavery of this flesh. According to Isaiah 27. Freedom is coming. We are not free yet. We're still here. We're still earthbound and we're still contained in these tents that are filled with sin. But let us not perpetuate in Cain's attitude and rebel against God and take it out on each other. Because his outcome of his anger was he murdered his brother. Jesus died freely for us to give us life. He expects the same. He expects us to sacrifice our lives and our service so that others may come. That's the joy that he saw set before him at the cross. He knew that when he died, he was the initial seed of all you and me. Because of him, we now have life. Because of him, communion. We have a common union. To be truly free requires sacrifice, courage, and faith in God. I don't want anything to own me except God. My Bible says that he put a seal on me of ownership in Ephesians 1. Who owns you? Who are you loyal to? Whose name are you trying to make famous in the world? Just some food for thought. Because that's what we're here about. We're not here just to celebrate Jesus and go home and eat our pot roast and have a good time the rest of the week. Sad to discourage you and break that delusion. But we're here to train you, to speak truth to you, to give you a prophetic voice into the land, to give you understanding as to great delusion is upon this nation. And we have a responsibility. We stand in the light. If there's a bulb over us. John, 1 John says we need to stay in the light as He is in the light. Let God examine you. Let God challenge you. Let God have His way with you. Let Him use your voice. Let Him use your gifts. Let Him use your talents. Because, you know what? The Word says it was with God and it took on flesh. He went back to heaven. Now He wants to take on your flesh. Jesus died to come out of us. And each and every one of us is the Spirit of Christ. That Spirit of Christ is powerful, more powerful than anything in this world and anything that man offers. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Not your sin that's been dealt with, not your rebellion that's been dealt with, not your proclivities to do your own thing that's been dealt with. God's trying to give you purpose. He's trying to give your life something in which you die and reproduce more eternal life. Ed, Gary, when you think about what He has done on the cross for you, take to heart that He counted all joy, that when God said, "Who will go?" Jesus said, "I'll do it." When He asked you, go ahead, you can serve it. When He asked you guys to do something, do not deny Him. Just do it out of obedience. Amen? Amen.